Hey, we're back from Bootstrapped Web. Good to be back. Jordan, how's it going, buddy?
What's up, Brian? Good to be back, man.
Not much. I guess today we'll do the usual chaotic updates episode. I think you and I both have a lot going on. We're heading towards the end of the year here and a lot to wrap up, a lot of things to build, a lot of things to fix and update, and I think we got a lot of them, so...
Yeah, and I like that we don't do these every single week now. So we've been breaking it up with guests and screwing up our timing and traveling and all that. So we do these every few weeks, and it feels like there's more substance to it. The other thing, I have to admit something, Brian. I feel like I've been not as open as I should be about... I like when we talk offline, when I talk to other people offline, I like to talk revenue. I like to talk numbers. I like to... you know, not fluff. But it's a little tricky knowing how open to be about that stuff. So I think I still don't see an advantage in being completely transparent on revenue. I don't understand people that do it. I do not see the advantage unless you're in such a comfortable position. And then it just sounds like bragging anyway. So it's a strange thing.
I do. You know, I agree. I think, yeah, I don't see a specific need. I don't really see a big upside to being super specific about like current MRR or how big a launch was or you know, the size of things. I guess, but at the same time, I think it's good to give some sense of context and where things are at and relative.
Incredibly, right. It does give context, and it's incredibly helpful if you're trying to sell coaching. If you're trying to say, I will teach you how to build a consulting business, it's really good for you to be able to say, I've had 6 students over the past year make over $1 million. You know, like things like that that are specific. But when it comes to your specific business, especially in our space, I don't really see that much advantage. But anyway, I'm going to try, at least this episode, to talk a little bit more numbers. Not so much of our revenue, but like what's happening in the pipeline and why custom services are formulating and I'm starting to do another outbound campaign, which I'm paying a good amount of money for. So the math that goes into that. So I'm gonna try. I'm still not gonna tell what my revenue is unless I see an advantage. But
yeah, I tend numbers. To think on that, like numbers can be helpful sometimes to give a bit of context. But at the end of the day, you know, it's not the numbers that are gonna really teach you anything. It's like that's not the takeaway. Like the takeaway is the strategy and the tactics and your thinking and your decision making. I think that's what will help our listeners get more out of it. You know, so yeah. With that, why don't you kick it off?
All right, cool. So what the first thing I want to tackle is seemingly small, but so I've recently had one of those experiences where you're like, "Damn, I did something smart. That's awesome." And then in the next breath, you realize, my God, how stupid am I? Why didn't I do this 6 months ago? It could have saved me so much aggravation and made more money. So that change was, I've talked about this before, the credit card, the timing of when we ask for the credit card on the card abandonment product. It seems like such a small thing, but it has made such a huge impact, not only on my workload. So what was happening was we didn't require a credit card at signup. And then people would go through their trial. And the way we talked about it was we were selling drugs. We just wanted to get them a try, because then you start making money. And then once you start making money, you're hooked. So then we would have an automated email sequence that gave them updates every week. This is how much money you've made so far. This is how much money after 2 weeks, after 3 weeks. And then after 4 weeks, we would turn the conversation into, this is how much money you made during the trial. That means you're at the $100 a month tier. Please click here to put in your credit card, right? So we would like let them run the campaign and let them make money and then ask them for the credit card.
So it's almost like they made the money. Like initially when they signed up, they didn't really know which price tier they'll be in.
You can't know yet.
Because it's based on revenue.
Right. So we were like, how do we ask someone to sign up for a plan? So we had issues with it. We didn't really know what to do. So what that meant is under that current, well, the past structure, somebody needed to proactively decide, I'm going to click this button from the email you sent me and I'm going to put in my credit card and then I will continue on as a paying customer. So that caused a lot of headaches. It was good for sales because we didn't require a credit card up front and people would only be shown how much money they were going to pay after they've already made a lot more than that. So that was good. But what it meant was that we were losing out on a lot of sales from people who just didn't respond to the email. So we sent like 4 emails, but then someone would just not respond, and then it would be a problem. Because if somebody made $2,200 during their 30-day trial, and they should fall into the $100 a month tier, and they were successful in it, they should really sign up, right? There's no reason that they shouldn't sign up. So if they got the email, they didn't respond, didn't put their credit card in, now I got a problem. I can either be a bad businessman and let it go and not do anything about it, or I can be a good businessman but bad for my time and follow up with that person, man. You figure out a way, get them on the phone, do something, right? Because they should turn into a paying customer.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's an action that it's a second action that they need to take. The first one was signing up, and then 30 days later, whenever they have to go stop whatever else they were doing and go take this action, even if it's been saving them money, like even if Cardhook has been working. My go-to strat, like default, has always been like, require the credit card up front so that at least they only have to take one action. And then maybe after speaking with you and Ruben a couple weeks ago, I started to rethink that, like as I'm planning the calendar product, maybe not require the credit card up front and ask for it 30 days later. But it's this give and take, yeah.
I'll describe what we ended up doing that I'm ecstatic about. Not only has it eliminated, it's done a few things. So let me describe what we did instead of talking backwards. What we did was we allow you to sign up without a credit card, and then you set up your campaign. But when you launch the campaign, right when you say, yes, turn my emails live so that the next person that abandons a card on my site gets emails, when you launch your campaign, a pop-up would come up and say, put your credit card on file in order to launch your campaign. Oh my God. It has like we have more Stripe signups, not account signups, but people in Stripe. We have like tripled in 30 days.
That's awesome.
It is insane because everyone, and here's the thing, no one has complained. Yep. Not one person.
Single person. It's the best of both worlds. You get the low friction free trial sign up, and you get the higher conversion. And I think it's probably because you're getting them closer. I mean, obviously they can't really get any value out of it until they pay. That's number one. But they're
committed.
You're taking that action, that second action of putting the credit card in. You're moving that closer to the day that they initially had signed up, because that window when they signed up is when they're most engaged and they're like, all right, I have this problem today. I want to get it solved like this week. And if they can go from free trial to activating their campaign and paying within a week, they're still in that mindset of like, okay, I'm taking action on Cardhook. Whereas if they, before they do free trial today, and then like a month from now, they do that action to start paying, it's like they're already onto something else by then. So,
right. So now they no longer have to proactively put their credit card on file. They would now by default, right? The emails at the end of the trial will now say, you're about to be placed on the $100 a month tier. It's not like click here to sign up to put your credit card on file. It's we already have your credit card on file. You've had this trial. Here's how much money you made. You're on the $100 tier. In 3 days, you will be charged $100 for the first time. So now they have to proactively say, no, don't do that. Instead of proactively saying, yes, here's my credit card. And the secondary thing it's done is I don't have to worry about it anymore. I don't have to feel guilty and look and say, someone made $600. They're supposed to be $50 a month trial. I just have too much going on, and I'm just going to watch that just walk away.
Yeah. And if they cancel in that 3-day period there, you get a reason.
Right.
Like you're not left wondering why didn't you renew? I was saving you money. You just disappeared. They have to actually kind of cancel and, you know, I assume you have some sort of like field or something where they type in the answer or something, like the reason. Or
yeah, I don't want to talk about that.
Oh, okay, maybe not.
No, we don't, which we should. But anyway, so that
at least they need to get in touch about it, and that's still an opportunity to hear from.
There's a limit to my cynicism, Brian. Okay. We added a cancellation button in the app now.
Okay.
Now that we are doing it this way, we felt like okay, we can't do that, and also required them to email us to cancel.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I just mean that like you're kind of eliminating the whole, the free trialer who just mysteriously disappears. And at least they have to kind of come to the surface and say, and kind of, there's some interaction there when they decide to cancel that you can get some data from that can help you reduce churn and all that.
So I think that was a great move that should have been done 6 months ago, but it wasn't. But at least it got done now. And I will give an update in next week is the first time that that batch of people who were required to put credit card at launch actually go from trial to paid. So I'll give an update in like 2 or 3 weeks on how that's going, because it might double the growth. It's so ridiculous. It's so stupid. But it might have like a very significant impact, which makes me feel very happy and really upset at the same time. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. But like I think the other thing to keep in mind here is like these like hard and fast rules, right? Like this is not one of those things. I think for your particular software, it has that activation step where it really makes sense to insert the credit card ask there. I'm wondering about like can that map to a lot of other SaaS apps. I don't know.
Let's look at your situation,
because that's what I'm thinking about. Like
let's just use it as an example. Where is the point in time that things change from activation is the
trend? I've been a little bit on the fence about this, and it's not an urgent decision yet, so I haven't really decided one way or another. But so I'm pretty set on the idea that it's going to be a 30-day free trial for Audience Ops Calendar. Other products that I've worked on can be like 14 days, maybe even less. But I think this one, you need a good month to get the cycle of planning content and process for producing content. And I'm starting to lean more on the side of don't require the credit card up front and let them just free trial and then do the painful second action 30 days later.
It's tough. It's really tough to know that stuff. We moved to 14 days on the Funnels product, and it feels really short.
Yeah.
It feels short. It feels like people barely get a chance to really get into it and get value from it. So
I think because I don't think that we have the same sort of activation event that you have. Like to activate the campaign and start sending emails, like that's literally like night and day. Okay, now we're turning the app on. It's going to start doing what it's supposed to do.
No value to value.
With the calendar app, it's more of like an internal project management app, and it helps you become organized and it helps you streamline your process.
So where are the individual steps where real value is created? Is it like sharing with the team member?
See, that's the thing that I was thinking. It was like, so in terms of the pricing tiers that I'm planning, there's going to be a solo plan, a team plan, and an agency plan. And solo will be just your one person. And the idea is all features in the app are available to all plans. The only difference is the solo plan, you can't invite any teammates. The team plan, you can invite up to like 5 teammates. And the agency plan, you can install it on multiple sites, up to 10 sites for clients. As a solo user, you can start a free trial without entering your credit card and start using basically all the features in the app, get a feel for it, see if it's working with your workflow and all that. And then if you're happy with it, and it's like, okay, I'm ready to start inviting my teammates into this, that's when the pop-up comes up to ask for their credit card. And then you can start inviting teammates.
Yeah, that's good.
But people on that lower tier, the solo plan, who don't ever intend to invite teammates, they'll just get the pop-up at the 30-day mark.
Like what, when they log into their account after 30 days?
Yeah, like it's not going to be an unlimited trial. Like after 30 days, you have to kind of stop using the app or start paying.
Yeah, so we're doing a UX upgrade to the Funnels product, because right now it's basically just an MVP. We got it out there. Now we actually want to make it nice and onboarding and all that. So we've been looking around at other apps, and Bare Metrics does this really well. It's so simple, but you'll see like pro companies, you know, companies who have their act together, who have real pros working behind it. You see a lot of upgrade opportunities on the back end. And I don't just mean upgrade from one tier to another. I mean from free to paid. So Bare Metrics, when you start a trial, I would encourage people to start a trial with Barometrics because A, it's free. Most people have a Stripe account. You can just kind of connect, just play around with it. It's really well done. So when you're looking at the dashboard, there's just a notification at the top. Your full-featured 14-day trial has – your full-featured trial has X number of days left. And then a link, upgrade now to save your business insights. Right? So right there persistently on the dashboard, it gives you the chance to go from free to paid at any time. And it positions it properly to save your business insights, you know, not to like to become a paying customer. And then if you go to features that are locked out of free accounts, like a team thing, you can still see the features, but then it shows you upgrade here to get access to these features.
Yeah, like when you click the invite teammate button.
Right, that's when it pops up.
Yeah, that's definitely how it
works. Right, so it gives you all these different opportunities. So instead of just like after 30 days when they log in, they can't log in unless they put their credit card in, it should do that along the way. And it should probably be in like the PS of some of the emails that lead up to the end of the trial of like, do it now to make sure you don't get locked out. So I see those things can have a big difference once you have any sort of volume in trials.
Yeah, I think that's probably I'm glad we had this conversation. I think I pretty much cleared up how at least version one is going to be. Like 30-day free trial, ask for the credit card when you invite a teammate or when you try to add a second site if you're an agency.
Right, like that. Those points of additional value.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Cool, man. Awesome. Very nice. All right, so that's I got a bunch of sales stuff to talk about after this, but
all right,
what's going on in your world?
What I'm focused on right now this past week, is a redesign of audienceops.com, our marketing site.
All right, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. of course, it's one of those things that I told myself, yeah, I'm going to hustle and get this thing done in 1 week, then I'm going to ship it.
So hard.
So we're into week two here. It's not launched yet. And obviously, I mean, most companies spend months doing a website redesign. It's definitely a big improvement, but at the same time, I'm really prioritizing speed on this thing. I want to get it out the door and launched really quickly. And I may have already talked about it on the podcast before, but just to recap, why I'm doing a redesign, because currently the site only promotes our service, our content done for you service. The new site is going to have basically a general homepage and then linking off to three different sales pages, one for the calendar SaaS, one for our upcoming training product, and one for our service, the content service. So we're going from one product to three products, essentially. So we need a new redesign to kind of present all that.
Yeah, I hear that.
And, you know, I am trying to get it launched, you know, this month, like in the next week or so, because it's ahead of the launch of these products, except for the service, which
should be.
So I think right now I just have the basic landing page, but now it's going to be like a legit.
You've given this some thought. I want to ask you how you're thinking about it when you have multiple products. Do you promote them equally or do you lead with one?
It's a good question.
What's the strategy here? I know Justin from LeadViews is kind of playing with some of this stuff also, yeah. with a course.
I've been giving this a lot of thought and went down a few different routes as I was sketching this out. But in terms of the marketing funnel, so not thinking about the website structure quite yet, but just in terms of the marketing funnel, my thinking is all of our top of funnel advertising and marketing and webinars should basically be directed at our training product that will come out in a couple of months.
So like education, basically.
Yeah, because I think that's the easiest product to basically sell on a webinar.
Mm-hmm. Right. What's Brendan's philosophy? Nobody ever gets the offer for the higher end until they buy the lower end.
Yeah. I think
his is more strict.
But the way that I'm planning it is it's going to be an automated couple times a week educational webinar that leads into an offer for the higher level education, which is our give or take $500 training product. And that training product is a standalone product, but it also comes with an extended free trial of our calendar software. So I said like we're going to do a 30-day trial. The training students will get like a 60-day trial, something like that. And of course, the training kind of trains you on the best way to use the calendar software and all that. They go hand in hand. And by selling the training program, that kind of helps to pay for the marketing spend, like paying for ads to run to that weekly webinar and all that. So that's kind of the high level funnel. And then I think in terms of leads for the content service, we're just going to kind of naturally get leads dripping into that. People who have maybe gone through either the free training or the paid training, and they just decide that they want to do it all themselves, or just from all the marketing that we're doing around our other products, they naturally come over to the service and we'll get some leads for that. But in terms of the website structure, the way that I'm going is the homepage, I guess in a way we're going to promote all three equally.
Right. It's funny, like the site can do that, but the entry point is usually not your homepage.
Right. So
right, someone actually comes in.
But the homepage is like literally I'm just going to pull it up, like the headlines that I have. Like the homepage is basically like a general welcome to Audience Ops. We're a content marketing this is not the actual headline, but just the message is we're a content marketing company and
offering X, Y.
And basically the very top headline is out-teach your competition, which is the same headline that we currently have. It's got kind of an illustration of our calendar and an illustration of a content article. Below that, in the next big section near the top of the homepage, it says products to help you start and scale your content marketing. And then three equal callouts. You've got calendar, training, and service.
Right, with like some graphic representation.
Yeah, each has a little illustration that our designer created. They look pretty cool. And calendar, one sentence blurb, and then learn more. Training, one sentence blurb, learn more. So those three big callouts near the top, they link off to audienceops.com/calendar, audienceops.com/training/service.
Yeah, pretty much what we have with Carhartuck. We ended up in the same place. You go there, it says products built to make your e-commerce business more successful, and we have funnel with a one-liner, cart abandonment with another one-liner, and a button for each to learn more, and that goes like their own little products pages effectively.
Yeah, and then once you get to the calendar page, the entire page, including the top navigation and everything, it's all about the calendar. So it is a little bit confusing.
It's a funny thing. It's hard to do. We ended up with a global navigation, but like with these little pull down menus. So we have products, and then you can choose which one, and then you have login if you could choose which one. Then we have about.
See, login is the other one that I've been debating over. Like,
it's so weird.
Are you gonna? Because we're gonna have people who want to log into the calendar, but also log into the training membership area, and those are gonna be two different sites. I'm looking at yours. Yeah, products. Yeah, and that's how I've seen other companies who have multiple products do it. They have like a product dropdown. Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. You have a login dropdown. That's
interesting. Yeah, you go to like SEO Moz. You go to Intercom. Like people who have to deal with the issue of multiple products, it's very interesting to see how they do it.
Oh man, now I'm looking at yours. Maybe I want to make mine like yours.
Feel free to steal because mine original.
See, I also have a call to action button in the top navigation. So it's like link, and then a button for like
yes.
Get a free trial or get a free demo. And that's going to be specific to each page.
I see. I wonder if we do that to some extent with like we have like a sub navigation and scratched it. Yeah, it's a tricky thing to figure out.
Yeah.
How to make it not confusing, but still present what you want.
Yeah. So the thing I wanted to share today about the redesign is that I'm doing this in the fastest possible way to ship a high quality redesign that I know how to do, given my personal, what I think are my strengths and the areas that I need to delegate to someone else. And so, you know, I come from a background in web design and front end development and WordPress development. So what I did was, and so my first, I started out by saying, all right, I'm just going to get a WordPress theme. Like I tried the Elegant Themes Divi theme, which is one of these like website, like page builders, very customizable, a lot of built-in options. I thought, all right, that'll probably be the fastest way to get something out the door is to use something like that. I spent a day on that. I came to the conclusion, which I've done multiple times in the past, like, you know what? These page builders are not for me. I need more hands-on in the markup and the CSS. So I basically trashed that. And then I went to my go-to framework, which is the Twitter Bootstrap framework. I know people debate these things, but for me, that's just the one that, that I've been into for the last couple of years. I started with a clean slate, custom WordPress theme using the Twitter Bootstrap framework. And I basically essentially made like a static HTML site, but wrapped it in a WordPress theme. It's not like a custom CMS. It's just like custom page templates in a WordPress theme, fully doing the markup myself, CSS myself, and all the copy myself. Like those are the things that I'm that are my strength, and I can work on, and I've been working on those like every day for the past week. And then the one piece that I gave to someone else is our designer on the our illustrator on the team. We need custom illustrations for these.
Those make such a big difference.
Yeah, like for the featured area, but also like those three products and different specific features. Like he created these custom icons, and I basically had a very specific idea for what should be communicated in these icons, and I gave them to him, and he spent a week and he created those, and then I kind of, you know, tweaked some of the coloring, and then I put them into the site. So as of today, I've got the homepage all done. I've got the new service page all done. My next one that I'll work on the next few days is the calendar page for the SaaS. And then after that, the training page. And once those two pages are done, hopefully by end of next week, I'll be ready to launch this thing. But that's kind of my number one priority, because I feel like I can't launch anything else until I have the new site up and running. Like I planned the automated webinar, and I want to start really driving traffic to that, and also to do more to drive these like early access list signups. But I want to have the site in place to be the thing that I'm promoting. So I'm trying to get that out the door, you know, by next week.
All right. So you're doing some handcrafted, artisanal, local, organic, cruelty-free, open range software development for the front end. But I think anyone in your situation gets fed up with the page builders. They're great, but you just run into.
I'm just so much. Personally, I'm much faster writing the markup, the CSS, and doing the copywriting all in a basic HTML page.
Nice, man. And how annoying is it that you have to basically build two websites, one for mobile and one for desktop?
You know, Twitter Bootstrap has some mobile responsive built into it, but obviously you got. But I dedicated the entire day to taking everything that I've built so far and tweak the responsive layout to make sure that that's all cool. So I literally spent like 5 hours just doing responsive tweaks. But that's all squared away. Like I finished that yesterday. So now I can kind of move on to those other two sales pages.
All right, cool. And the webinar, that's what you want people to... cold traffic.
Yes. So back to the question of like, how do you promote these three different products? Do you do them equally? In terms of the website, people can basically navigate to whichever one they feel drawn to. And we've got clear paths right from the homepage that they can do that. Or maybe they heard about Audience Ops Calendar, they land directly on that page. But the pop-up on the website is going to promote the webinar. The calls to action in the blog area are all going to go to that webinar. The cold traffic that we run is going to go to a landing page for the webinar. Probably retargeting ads various retargeting ads, I think. But we'll also build it into some email automation, like new subscribers get pitched on the webinar and mm-hmm. with some dynamic stuff there. And
So there is an escalation. There is a relatively declined funnel. You're not going to build out multiple different funnels, at least not at first.
Well, one main one. I did diagram out like the whole funnel and how it should work. And so like if somebody kind of takes an action that indicates they're interested in the SaaS, like that should move them down that path. You know, whether the other thing that I learned from Ruben, I don't think this was on Bootstrap Web, but I interviewed him as one of the training one of the interviews that's included in the training package, talking about how he does content marketing for BidSketch. But he said one strategy this isn't really specific about content marketing, but he put an email opt-in right at the very top of the BidSketch homepage to download a sample proposal.
Right. That's his entry point.
And that's his entry point. And he's built up thousands and thousands. He gets tons and tons of opt-ins into that.
Yep, he does.
And he actually goes an additional step of like, you can't even navigate anywhere else on his site until you enter your email address and get that free proposal sample.
Yeah. There are some links in the footer. I'm very intimately familiar with this because I've told Ruben multiple times now that we're like buddies. We hang out in person here in Portland. I stole that so blatantly in the first Cardhook homepage. The very first thing you saw was, you know, the headline and then right below it, a big field for your email. And it said, you know, basically enter your email to get a sample abandoned cart campaign.
That's perfect. Yep. Yeah. Like after I kind of heard that tip from him, I we already had a sample articles downloadable PDF for our content service that we give people. But currently it's like a tiny link in the middle bottom of the page. Now it's like front and center email opt-in top of the page, you know? And I'm trying to think through like, what can that be for the calendar product? Like maybe like download a sample editorial calendar, something like that. But like, trying to prioritize the email opt-in right at the very top.
I like that. I'm actually, it's funny you say that. If you go to cardhook.com/funnel, our most successful opt-in is to download a template, a product page template, right? But it's like, it's off to the side. It's blended in. It's not obvious. So I'm actually working with our buddy Matt Ackerson at Pitovero, who's doing a lot of interesting stuff with pop-ups and opt-ins, to create opt-ins for the page also. So an exit pop, just because that offer converts really well for the email, but you don't really see it very much. So we really need to make it more prominent. So like Ruben did in putting it directly out in front. Because I assume most of his traffic comes in through a blog post. And then when people say, what is this thing? They get to the homepage. And then the thing staring them right in the face is the opt-in.
Yeah. The other thing, I'm actually looking at your pricing section here. On my new site for Audience Ops, for all three products, I'm going to show the pricing tiers. And I'm going to do more of a typical monthly and annual layout that we're seeing in most SaaS products now. I'm basically going to show what is the price if you pay monthly and what is the price if you pay annually, but broken down by month.
Yeah. You know? I like that.
Cause I think you're showing,
we're showing the year, the full annual price. Then we show the 33% off, right? You see that little thing appears. I think our pricing is not conventional, and I think that's just right for our situation right now, because we have one pricing tier and then the other pricing tier is custom, and we're forcing a demo. So it's really a reflection of the timing of where the product is. Like, we don't really know what we should be pricing it at. So we're using, it's effectively a filter. It's just so you know, it's minimum $300 a month. That's the only real number there. And then you have to get a demo. Yeah. And that actually leads into my next update, all around the sales process and the pricing and all that. It's been a really, really interesting few weeks. So, overall, what I'd say is that it really feels like now is the moment. Like, the company can either continue to grow, you know, okay, but not fast enough, or these next like 90 days is where the breakout can happen. It really feels like all the latent energy that's been there for the past year with the new product is finally in front of us. So the product has come a really long way, a lot of tech issues behind us, people signing up and having success. You know, we have like an internal dashboard, and it's like, it's starting to be exciting. Because we're effectively like an e-commerce platform, right? Because we do the payment processing. So now we can see how much money is being processed on our platform every day, the past 7 days, the past 30 days. We have it broken down by user. So I can always see, ooh, this person made $8,000 last week, but isn't sending any traffic today. Maybe I should reach out to them. So we're starting to build those things up. So on the sales front, I have been in beast mode. I have done an average of two demos per day every single day for the past 2 weeks. This week I've done 8 demos, and right now it's Friday morning and I have 3 demos scheduled for later on today. So that's 11 demos in the week. So more than average, a little more than 2 per day. And those conversations have just been so fascinating, man. You want to talk to your customers, force the demo, and look, you will get fewer signups, but you will get into a lot of conversations. And so some of the biggest takeaway has been the opportunity on the services side. That's been the biggest takeaway from the demo focus. Every 5 or 6 conversations, it turns into a services conversation, into, so can you guys just do this for us? So can we custom design this page and that page? And can you link it up to our subscription thing? And, you know, then they start to, once you're in a conversation and they trust you and you're in like a little relationship here, you're talking about their business, they start to come out with what they really want.
This gets back to like those specifics we talked about from the start.
Yeah.
Like just to give folks an update, I know you talked about doing custom services a few weeks back. Where are you at with it now? I know you closed a few deals. Like how many deals, and like how significant is it at this
point? Yeah. So we closed a deal for 10K, and that the check for 50% deposit arrived, and that was a trip. That's like, damn, that was, you know, a check for that much was as much as we made for many months in the beginning of the company, and now it's one deal. So it's kind of that's exciting. And right now, okay, so let me get into the numbers. So 2 demos a day for about 2 weeks. Every 5 or 6 conversations ends up talking about the services side in addition to the software. So right now we have somewhere, this has been, I guess, about 3 weeks where we've really focused on demos. The past 2 where it's been cranking, but 3 weeks. We have somewhere between 10 and 30K in the pipeline on the services side. So, right, you assume maybe half of that closes. So what the numbers that I'm looking at is, okay, if – so all of this is 100% inbound, which is a completely new experience for us. I have never had that level of inbound interest. I've always had to go out and hustle and outbound and Facebook and networking and whatever to get people to come in. And now this is – we're doing nothing.
Where is that coming from? Shopify checkout product, that's just a high search term, and you've done some content, you had a podcast, you had articles.
It's not a high search term, but it does get searched, and we are the only solution for it. So people are finding us just because they're searching, they're frantically searching for something about their checkout, about Shopify, upsell something, and we're the only ones they're finding. I think people are coming through Facebook and people are coming through word of mouth. So we're starting to get an intercom chat that says, hey, someone in a Facebook group I'm in told me that you guys can do upsells for Shopify. Is that right? I have questions. So just more of that. And a lot of just straight up go to the website, fill out the demo form, book something on my calendar, and then I can see, okay, who are they? How much do they make and all that? So the math that I'm looking at and aiming at, that's all inbound. I'm just about to start spending $3,000 a month on an outbound campaign. So I'm basically hiring an outsourced SDR. So I went to BuiltWith and I went to another list company. Ben did a ton of hacking on that list, and we ended up crawling a lot of these sites to figure out which apps they were using. We're just trying to find intel, right? You go to Shopify, a list of Shopify is 220,000 stores. What are you supposed to do with that, right? So we've just been looking at that and saying, okay, if we're going to acknowledge that the list makes all the difference, if you go after the right people, you get better results. So we said, you know what? I basically told the sales guys, you're going to have to give me a week or two. I'm just going to work on this list because I think it's that important. So once we started focusing on it, we came up with some really interesting stuff. First, we came up with, through the help of my buddy, who I don't want to mention maybe because it's a little questionable. We figured out how to determine if a site is a Shopify Plus site or not. Plus are the guys that pay $1,000 to $3,000 a month. So immediately, that's the best identifier. Someone who has that kind of money and has those kind of needs, those are our best people. So everyone told us you can't figure it out. You have to go there. And we figured out a weird way to do it. I didn't figure it out. This other guy did, but then we ran it programmatically and we basically uncovered all the Shopify Plus stores out of that list of 220,000. Right? So really exciting. Now I know this is the gold right here. These X number of stores are like, so I'm not even going after them first because I want to get the messaging right. So we just did a lot of work on the list. So now we're going to combine outbound along with the inbound. So I think I'm just going to be demo man. That's already basically what I do. I do demos and like email during the day, and at night I do strategic work. And I like it because it's really exciting right now, but it's a little exhausting.
Yeah.
So here's the math.
Well, how are you? You have a lot of inbound leads right now. You're going to start having more leads once you fire up the outbound sales stuff.
Yep.
What about capacity?
I think the first.
I mean, it'll be a good problem to have, but
right. But it's still a problem. Doesn't yep. mean it's you know. And it, if you let it become too much of a problem, it's going to hurt the good side, mm-hmm. right? If I'm giving the same attention to someone who makes less than 10K that I do to someone making over 100K a month, we have a problem. I think the first thing to do is separate the personalized demo from a recorded demo. Right. So we ask when you sign up for a demo.
I mean, the custom work. Like, do you have somebody to put on put on that work?
I thought
you
meant my capacity for doing demos.
Oh,
which,
no.
Which is an issue.
No, I know you can hustle all day long.
The truth is, I have been more energized and more happy over the past 2 weeks. I just talk to people. It's so much fun.
Yeah. No, I mean, if you close 5 custom jobs in a month, what happens?
Right. All right. So the capacity of that. Let's just say it. When we ask for the demo form, we ask how much revenue do you make? And so what we could do is redirect based on that answer to here's your demo that's recorded or here's my calendar to schedule a demo. So that's the first thing on the demo capacity. In terms of services capacity, I think that starts off at the math. The way I'm looking at it is if an average deal is 5K, if I can close one deal per week, that's 20K in services revenue. And in addition to that, those people who do the services revenue have basically been saying yes to $500 a month after the services, right? Because it's services on top of our software and then they run the software. So if I can do 20K in services revenue plus $500 times 4, 2K in MRR, and then all the other demos that aren't doing services, that's just for the software, that's, let's say they average $300 a month. Let's say we add another, let's just call it 5 customers throughout the month, maybe about one per week. That's another 1500 in MRR. So if I can add 20K in MRR, 20K in services revenue plus the 2000, 1500, that's 3500 in MRR every month, then you know, give that 6 months to a year of doing that every month, and we're going to be in a good place, right? So then I look at that and I say, okay, is that I'm going to spend 3K a month on the outsourced SDR. I'm going to end up needing a services team in Slovenia that I'll just silo off. That way the product guys can just focus on building up the product, and then we can have like one developer and one designer on a services team, and that'll probably cost me somewhere in the vicinity of 8K a month. So it's like, okay, I'm starting to see where this makes sense. And then the X factor will be if we can drive our average deal number from 5K up closer to 10 and beyond that, then we have a business.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. And I mean, in the early months to a year, it's, you know, you could start with one guy, you could do a short waiting list, you can schedule the custom jobs in, like this one will start next month and kind of, you know, and then ramp up until you have the developers to do it. And yeah, I like it.
Yeah. So we'll see. I'll look forward to giving updates on how close to reality that ends up being. Do we do better than that? Do we do worse? But that's kind of the focus.
And I love that model, man. I'll never stop saying it. The services plus software. And
so you need the revenue, man. The MRR.
You need so the revenue to sustain the whole thing, especially early on. But then it's also, like you said, those custom jobs turn into 500 a month each. And
right. So it's not separated.
Those custom jobs are the higher end customers who are willing to buy into the higher end tier, and they paid for this custom work, so they're kind of locked in, and they're much less likely to cancel anytime in the near future. I love it.
Yep. So I see that, and I know if that works, we're going to be in great shape. So I'm basically, that's why I said before, like, this really feels like this is it. If we can make that work over the next 90 days, then, you know, we'll finally get to where we've been working to get to for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
It's crazy how long it takes. It's exhausting.
I know. It is. Let's see. So my next thing here is the services side of things. We're doing some tweaking to our strategy that we do for clients. And it's like, do we really need to take on this extra big revamping of something right now while we're trying to launch these other products? Yes, I guess I'm a crazy idiot who wants to do it right now, but right before I go on a month-long traveling trip. Yeah. I think basically the goal now is we've been doing the content, the done-for-you content productized service for almost 18 months, maybe 20 months at this point. Learned a lot and had some really successful clients with it, had a bunch of clients cancel over time. And, you know, the thing continues to sustain and grow. There have been some ups and downs, but it's been, you know, pretty sustainable. But, you know, I'm just trying to learn about, like, the various things that we do, what's actually moving the needle, and how can we improve the deliverable and drive more and better results for clients. And the conclusion that I'm coming to is for us to kind of embrace this, like the hub and spoke strategy, if you will, of content marketing. It goes by that name a lot. I've seen it kind of go by many different names, and it's not really a new concept by any means, but I think more and more, especially software and SaaS companies are going with this hub and spoke, or like what we're calling like a resource hub, model, where, yeah, you're publishing new content to your blog every week, but especially in the early months of your content strategy, it's about being really strategic and putting all of your resources into this one comprehensive, multi-page guide on one high value topic that your customers are searching for, that there's some high search volume for, that's directly related to the problem that your company solves, and just really tackling that. And you see this being done really effectively on places like Help Scout, you know, Buffer, Zapier. Like these guys are all doing these resource hubs. You know, I think Help Scout has a whole page of them, but like they have
about
the founder's guide to customer acquisition. And it's a big landing page, a deep dive article right there, but then it links off to like 10 chapters on mm-hmm. subtopics, all about customer acquisition, tackling all the different angles and the specifics of that. And so basically, and the nice thing about what we do is that we don't really have to change a whole lot in our process. We're now just going to structure the first 3 months of a client's engagement to building out your first resource hub.
Okay. So I was going to ask, is this like an optional strategy that people can choose, or this is like,
This is going to be the new thing that we do for all new clients coming in. We're also going to start doing it for existing clients, but we're going to start with new clients first and then phase in everyone else.
All right. I like that very much. I like being able to explain that in the sales process.
Yeah. And that's, this comes back into the website redesign. Like it was also an opportunity to rewrite the whole value proposition of the service. You know, some parts I kept the same, but now it's, you know, I'm focusing on like, we're going to help you build this content asset and keep building that. And then the other piece is we're going to do more, to make it like evergreen email automation. So all the little articles that we're producing, we're going to add those to like a long evergreen sequence of content so that after you work with us for a number of months, you're going to have this content stream that's just churning out to all of your subscribers and your leads and that sort of thing. So what I'm working on right now is, mostly on that redesign, but I'm also working with a team on like, how can we update our new client onboarding process and our content strategy early on to fit this new resource hub model. And so there are some tweaks to our process that we need to make. I'm also tweaking my sales demo to focus on this new strategy and kind of get new clients on board. And by the way, this is coming out of like direct requests. Like a lot of our, a lot of recent leads as well as some clients have asked, you know, specifically like, can we have more of like a resource hub instead of just weekly blog articles? We still want to have you guys create content on a weekly basis, but have it be more strategic.
Okay.
And so, you know, that's essentially where this idea came from. It's like somebody literally asked us for that. And I was like, you
that
know
makes
what?
Sense.
You know,
it, like, it also elevates you. And you're not writing blog posts. You're like creating the content like Hive.
Yeah, exactly. And at the end of this 3-month process of building out your resource hub, we package all that content into a downloadable ebook. You know, that's like 10 chapters long because it's like 10 articles long. And
right. It was thought out ahead of time to all be centered around a cohesive subject.
Yeah. And you know, we'll go from like, all right, we spend the first 3 months doing resource hub number one, and then we move on to doing like a second resource hub on a different related or a different topic that's important to your business. And then kind of move on from there, you know, or keep growing out the first one.
That's awesome. You're basically writing a book. It just happens to be one chapter at a time every week.
Yeah.
And then load it up into the email sequence and then published as a book at the end of that.
Yeah. And we'll still do the content upgrades on every article and nice. Setting all that up. So
are you going to raise prices with it?
Someday. We will. Probably once these other products launch, we will be raising the prices. But I think for right now, it already fits our current pricing structure and same monthly, quarterly pricing. And it's just that now we're going to kind of structure things in this more strategic way. And that's, so it is a little bit of a heavy lift to get these, to figure out what are the new step-by-step processes that we're doing and get the team on board with, all right, this is how we did things before. And now we're going to do things slightly differently. And get all the different, like the managers and the writers on board with that. And then me, like, how do I explain this to new leads as they come through? So it's a little bit of a process, and I think
it's worth it. Yeah. It's worth it. It makes a lot of sense. It's very specific. It's a great sell. It's going to line up nicely with the training, right? You could teach that strategy as part of the training also. And then it makes a lot of sense to escalate that to, oh, I really buy in that strategy. Maybe I could just hire Brian to do it for me. And oh, I'll just take the $500 I spent on the training and get a credit for that while that. And then I can also use Brian's software, and it's starting to line up nicely.
Yeah. That's how it's all. That's the game plan. It's just not enough hours in the day or days in the week, you know?
Yeah. I hear you.
Did you have any other updates?
I mean, I could talk on and on forever, but we should probably call it a day.
Yeah, the only last thing I just wanted to mention is real quick is that Audience Ops calendar, my goal was to get that out to our beta customers this month, December. And we're close. I think that we can do it within the next 2 weeks. We've built a lot of features. He's come along much faster. My developer has... except he recently had a baby, which slowed him down which is a great thing. But you know, for 2 weeks there, he had to kind of take off.
Nice baby you have there.
But. I know. Come on. but we're basically one big feature away now. Like he's building our automated checklists feature. Once that's built, I'm hoping, you know, by around Christmas time is when I'll kind of send the email to our 14 beta, you know, prepaid customers there to get them into the app and starting to use it. And then we'll keep pushing along with new features after that.
Cool, man. I want to talk about two things that have been very helpful for me talking about the sales and the demos. The first thing is Steli, our homie from Close.io, wrote a book called Product Demos That Sell. And that is so, so good, right? You're hearing from someone who does this stuff for a living and enjoys it in Steli. And then it just points out everything you're doing wrong. You're focusing on the product too much instead of the benefit, all these different things. And he gets tactical, how to make sure that as many people show up to the demo. So that book is a gem and it's free. You get it on Amazon, you can get it on their site. So we'll link that up in the show notes. That has been awesome. And the other one is from our boy, Ian Landsman, over at HelpSpot. He wrote a book called Securing the Five-Figure Sale. Right. It's very specific. It's literally how bootstrap businesses can successfully enter the enterprise. So I saw a tweet from you, actually, Brian, talking about that book. I downloaded it. I've been reading it. And I have a call with Ian today to kind of get into more specifics. So those two books, Product Demos That Sell by Stelly and then Securing the Five-Figure Sale by Ian. Hugely helpful in all the stuff that I've been doing on the sales front.
Yeah, those guys definitely know their stuff when it comes to, Stelly selling to basically anyone and especially selling to the enterprise. And I was a guest on Ian and Andrew's bootstrapped.fm. I don't think that episode has come out yet, but sometime in the next month or two.
And, cool.
Yeah. Good stuff, man.
All right, buddy. Have a great weekend. I'm going to take my kids sledding again today. Hopefully we have our annual snow here in Portland, Oregon.
Sweet.
Where everything shuts down and the schools close the night before at the threat of snow. They don't have any plows or salt or sand.
Yep. Yeah, we're still waiting for it over here. But
I'm sure you'll get it.
Yep.
All right, cool, man. Good one today.
Yeah, definitely.
Later.